From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the second of two messages on the theme of Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith in Christ, part of this series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, written by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Uncover and Confess Sin. The text is Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Here is the way of mercy for a guilty and repenting sinner. He must cease from the habit of covering sin. This is attempted by falsehood, which denies sin, by hypocrisy, which conceals it, by boasting, which justifies it, and by loud profession, which tries to make amends for it. The sinner's business is to confess and forsake. The two must go together. Confession must be honestly made to the Lord Himself, and it must include within itself acknowledgement of the wrong, sense of its evil, and abhorrence of it. We must not throw the fault upon others, nor blame circumstances, nor plead natural weakness. We must make a clean breast of it and plead guilty to the indictment. There can be no mercy till this is done. Furthermore, we must forsake the evil. Having owned our fault, we must disown all present and future intent to abide in it. We cannot remain in rebellion and yet dwell with the King's majesty. The habit of evil must be quitted, together with all places, companions, pursuits, and books which might lead us astray. Not for confession, nor for reformation, but in connection with them we find pardon by faith in the blood of Jesus.
Christ, I live, for in my place he died. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Now, Dr. Cairns will continue his theme of bearing the unbearable through faith in Christ, part of this series in Hebrews chapter 11. According to the passage beginning in verse 35, many unnamed heroes of faith chose cruel torture and martyrdom in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. It was their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that enabled Christians of the past to suffer as they did. Their gaze was beyond the temporary pleasures of this world. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, it is that same sight of the unchanging Christ that gives believers in this day the power to endure whatever God may see fit to bring into their lives. The Bible makes it clear that the world continues to hate Christ and the people who are identified with him. As Dr. Cairns will show, the purpose of persecution is to stamp out God's people and to make Christians compromise with the world. Dr. Cairns now brings the next portion of Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith in Christ.
When the Protestant martyrs went to the stake, they went to the stake for such things as saying that they believed that Bible to be the only rule of faith and practice. That they disavowed the belief that at the mumbo-jumbo of some priest, a little wafer was actually transubstantiated. Its substance was changed from flour and water into the very deity and humanity of Jesus Christ, so that when a priest put that on your tongue, you were literally eating your God. They said, we will not believe that idolatry. And for that, they were burned. There is the difference. That which marks the martyr of Christ was not dying for his political beliefs, though no doubt he may have had them, was not dying for his political actions, though again, many Christians have had political actions for which they paid the supreme price, but the martyrs of Christ died because they were hated for their faith. The world's hatred is still the same today. I was just reading, many of you may have seen this quote actually in the Revivalist. Archbishop Runcie of Canterbury was recently expatiating on fundamentalism. And he was saying that the curse of the world today is fundamentalism. You have the Islamic fundamentalists. And then you have the Jewish fundamentalists who are, according to him, causing all this trouble on the West Bank. And then you have the Christian fundamentalists. And he said that the Christian fundamentalists were guilty of causing the murder and the trouble in Northern Ireland. Now see the spirit of the world here. Christian fundamentalists, according to the leader of the worldwide Anglican Communion, are to be equated with the terrorists of the Middle East who blew that plane out of the air over Lockerbie. They are to be equated with the terrorists on that Mediterranean ship who took the crippled American, shot him, put him to death. They are to be equated with those who traveled over the border into Israel, into a busload of children, and shot them all to death. He says you can equate your Christian fundamentalist with that. And when he looks at the Irish situation with almost 3,000 people dead in the last 20 years, and he sees men who are brought out in front of their wives and children, I think of a Roman Catholic police inspector coming out of morning mass at a Roman Catholic church, getting into his car beside his wife and children, and some brave men come up and they blow his brains out. And then they send their phone calls and they mock the bereaved family and they joke with them about the brains on the pavement. And those are IRA, Roman Catholic gunmen. And yet the Archbishop of Canterbury says the trouble there is that in Ireland you have Christian fundamentalists. You see the hatred? In other words, we will overlook murderers, we will overlook people who do the foulest and the filthiest things, But we will hate people who stand for the Bible, who believe in the blood, who will preach atonement and justification through the merits of Christ by faith without works. You see the hatred. It's still there today, and it's not going to change. There is the persecution of the faithful. I want you to notice the purpose of the world and the devil in all this persecution. I'm only really going to mark this out for you. Keep it in mind. It is first to stamp out God's people and God's truth. And secondly, it is to induce believers to compromise and to deny the truth of God that they hold. If you want an example of that, you remember how Saul of Tarsus persecuted the Church of Christ. What did he seek to make them do? He sought to cause them to blaspheme. That was his great aim. In other words, to have them compromise and deny the truth of God. And, of course, when he would fail to do that, he'd be willing to have them put to death in order to stamp out the very presence of the truth of God from the earth. Men and women, I want you to know that that purpose is still very much alive and active in the world today. While so many churches are pussyfooting around, and while so many Christians are trying to get to be as like the world as they can, and dropping their defenses, and living as if there were no great spiritual warfare going on, the purpose of the devil is still the same. And I want you to know that there is in America today a tremendous movement to stamp out God's truth. To stamp out, if need be, then God's people. You can see this without me going into all the details and all the examples. You can see it on every hand. Across the universities of America and indeed of Europe, you have the great cry of academic freedom. If a university president and board of trustees decides to stop a body of students from publishing on the premises of the university and the presses of the university some vile and filthy and pornographic output, there's a cry goes up that there's a limit being put on the freedom of expression. But if a professor who's a man of God and a believer in this word would get up in front of his class and blow evolution out of the water, as many of them can very easily do, suddenly he'd be looking for a new job. And that is not a denial of academic freedom or any limitation on the right of personal expression. See, there is a movement to close down on the truth of God. I think that's at the heart of this whole controversy that's been raging for years on prayer in public schools. I, to be quite honest, think that in many cases this has been elevated to almost a fairy tale level. People have nearly got the notion if we could only get prayer back in public schools, America would be in revival. A bunch of atheistic, humanistic mockers of the Word of God leading a class, bowing their heads in a few words to some unknown deity, is not going to do anything much for America. But yet at the same time, I have to be honest and say that it is just an expression of the policy of the devil and of the world to exclude prayer from the schools of America. And to exclude the Bible from the schools of America, because ultimately, what the devil hates the very thought of is that possibly there may be a plain and powerful presentation of the Word of God. And that word can't be stopped. We had a school at Ballymoney that was noted throughout Northern Ireland for all the irregularities that had gone on in it. It was in the papers for months. The teaching staff was demoralized. The teaching standards were nothing. It was a laughing stock. One of the young ladies from our church, a music teacher, sat listening to the service one Sunday morning. She came to me afterwards. She said, "God has spoken to me this morning. And God has convicted me today that I have been in that school and I have taught the children music and I've taught them this and that and the other thing, but I have never been a good witness for Christ." She got a bundle of my Christ is the Answer booklets. She went back to teaching. Oh, she still taught music. First thing she did was she gave her testimony. She gave them the gospel. And then she opened her classroom at break time. And she opened her classroom at lunchtime. And she opened her classroom in the afternoon after the last period of school. And every time she opened it, 60, 70, 80 young teenagers were cramming into that classroom. And Margaret gave them the gospel. And in a two-year period, 300 teenagers professed faith in Jesus Christ. I don't say they were all saved. I don't know. I'm not their final judge. But I know that God did a work in that school. I talked to the principal of the school, who was an Episcopalian, an unbeliever. And I know that in that school there were other unbelievers, there were humanists, there were mockers. I know that there were others who were Christians and compromisers. And they were all standing back and they didn't know what on earth was happening. The school principal said to me, he said, "All I can tell you is that this school is changed and there is an entirely different atmosphere throughout the school. And I support what Margaret's doing 100% then." That's why the devil wants the Bible out of schools. That's why. And dare I speak heresy, educational heresy, from this pulpit this morning? Well, I'll dare it anyway. I don't mind if I walk around with my head under my arm. It's the easiest way to lose 100 pounds of ugly fat. So I'll make the statement. If God's people could ever again prevail to have the Bible allowed in the classrooms of America, I would pray that God would start sending Christians into the classrooms as teachers in those schools to do what that girl did in Malamoney and start preaching Christ. But the Bible's not allowed in. And that's why. The purpose of the world and the devil are very clear.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.